Welcome everybody to this service. I guess some of you are not here, maybe because you watched the Eurovision competition. This morning, I just come from Copenhagen, so I was at the airport and I saw the winner, the guy from Austria. Nice looking guy. I didn't hear him. I heard he has a nice voice, long hair, beard. It was a little bit unsettling to see that he was wearing a dress and high heels. I don't know what he was trying to say with that, but anyway. We had a wonderful time in Copenhagen at the Vineyard Leaders Conference, and I'm going to share a bit more about that in a moment. Here we are. Good. The topic for today is the message that Jesus made so clear to all of us. And I know that what I'm going to share is in no way news. And yet I realize, even when I read it myself, that even though we know it so well, it is so hard to understand what it means and to live it out. So right now, instead of reading the scripture, I'm going to play it for you. See if that works.
Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come here after me. And I will make you to become fishers of men.
Hope you didn't see that last part. I borrowed it from the Mormons. It's still the Word of God. It's still true, so. Let me read it to you from a modern translation, just to get a kind of a different view on it. Walking along the beach of Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. And Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." And they didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. I want to get your attention about this truth we don't talk about very often. Normally, when we ask people whether they are Christians or not, we use that term, "Are you saved?" Or we talk to one another and we ask the question, "So when did you get saved? How long have you been saved?" Actually, that's the wrong question to ask. Actually, that's not even biblical. Jesus never called anybody to be saved. He called them to follow him. Now, salvation is a very powerful and precious gift, and I'm don't mean in any way to play that down. But salvation is a byproduct of following Jesus. And that shows how we in our Western societies have twisted this simple truth by focusing on the very thing that is good for us. Because to be saved means to have eternal life. Which is true, absolutely true. But that is not why Jesus originally called people to follow him. That's a byproduct. That's a blessing. That is a wonderful thing that we have to hold dear. But it's not the central message of our Lord. Today the children are studying downstairs about the helmet of salvation. And it's just one part of the armor. An important part. But it's just one part. So I want you, at the beginning of this message, as I walk you through some points, to think about that. What have we done all this time? Focusing on salvation and asking each other if we are saved, when the question should have been, are you following Jesus? That is the question that we should be asking one another. Because that's exactly what Jesus said. He didn't say, follow me and you will be saved. He didn't say, follow me and I make you better people. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So simple, and yet so often we forget this very truth. Joseph Stowell, he's the pastor of the Moody Church. He identified this problem when he said, we have become quite happy to call ourselves Christians with little or no thought of following. Or another guy by the name of Paul Harvey, not quite sure who he is, but I like what he says. He says, we have drifted away from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. That's a little bit what we have done. This is the aquarium and we are the fish and we are watching out for each other. But we forget the fish outside that Jesus has called us to catch. And so this is really the central message I believe the Lord wants to get through to us. Remember what I said. I didn't just call you to be saved. I didn't just call you so you would have hope for eternal life. But I've called you to follow me so that I could make you fishers of men. I don't want to bore you with a lot of statistics. I have done that in the past. But just so we clearly understand the need that is ahead and in front of us, we are estimating that 10% of the world's population are church-going people. There are more that profess Christianity, much more, but many of those don't even go to church or have a living faith. And we can only guess how many of those church-going people are really disciples of Jesus. We don't know. God alone knows the answer to that. But the fact is that our task is far from finished. And there's a world out there full of fish waiting to be caught. We also know that the church in the Western world is not doing well. We heard that again, I think it was yesterday or on Friday morning, one of the talks we had at the conference in Copenhagen. It's a known fact that the church in the West is declining. Now, worldwide, the church is increasing because of what's happening in Africa and in Asia and in South America. The churches there are growing, in some places rapidly. But in Europe, United States, Australia, New Zealand, that what we call the Western world, the church is in trouble and the church is declining. That is a fact. So that is a huge burden that rests on us. Because if we are the church, then what future do we have? For many Christians, this whole missional aspect of being a Christian is scary. And I remember my own years as a young Christian, how I wrestled with my fears of going out and saying something to someone I was extremely shy, and I'm still introvert today. And it was not something that came easy for me. I envy those people that have this gift and that just have the ability to be what we call people persons that just talk to everybody and it's easy for them and they actually enjoy doing it. Most of us don't have that kind of personality, especially here in the Nordic countries. It seems like we are more reserved and we want to respect one another's privacy and private sphere. And so who am I to start talking to someone who's on their way to doing something else? And it's hard for us, isn't it? And I know that as we as a church continue to look forward and trying to become more missional, that is scary to some of you. You're starting to wonder if you can stay in this church because it's going to get crazy here. That was another thing that we talked about in Copenhagen. Almost all the talks, the testimonies, the workshops, there was always something in there about the need of us having to become more missional. And we heard some great stories, some awesome testimonies. I'll tell you some in a moment that were really, really encouraging. But again, for most of us that hear that, something tightens in your chest and you just feel, but it's so hard for me. Well, the good news is that Jesus promised that he would make us fisher of men. And that's, I think, the best news. Let me go back to the, one more moment. Some of you were here when we had Mark Marks visiting us, and we were out in the streets, and it was so awesome to see him walk up to groups of people and just talk to them, and they responded and wanted prayer. Again, for most of us, that's such a leap that we have a hard time identifying with that. But now let me get back to the satisfaction of the need, if you like, where Jesus promised, but I will make you fishers of men. You don't have to produce that in yourself. You don't even have to go to a special training school unless you want to. He said, I will. But of course, as always, when Jesus gives a promise, there's a condition. The condition is that we need to follow him. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's a solemn promise of the Son of God. What's so interesting is this picture, and you saw the video clip done quite well. When I think of fishing, I think of my fishing rod. I think of going out to a quiet place and casting, something I enjoy doing, even though I haven't caught a single fish since I've come to Sweden, but it's still fun. But of course, we know that when the Bible talks about fishing, then that's a whole different ballgame. It's not an individual thing that we do in our spare time. Actually, that kind of fishing that you saw just now with a net, you can't even do alone. You have to have at least two people in the boat to do that. And that kind of explains to us what Jesus meant when he said, I will make you fishers of men. When you fish with a rod, you have to have some kind of bait, either live bait or some kind of fake bait or whatever you use. People have their tricks of how they try to lure the fish to bite the hook. And again, with fishing with a net, there is no bait. But there is something that attracts the fish. In Bible times, and it's still being done in many parts of the world today, fishing is done at night. You go out at night and you have a lantern, or in modern times you have some kind of battery-driven light, and you put on the light and the light attracts the fish and they get caught in the net. When we lived many years in Southeast Asia, we saw it every time we were at the beach. At nighttime you could see little lights come out all over the sea. And I remember initially asking myself, what is that out there? Until we found out it was the fishermen having gone out to fish for the night. And they put on the light to attract the fish. And so this is the message that Jesus gives us. I mean, he used that same method and he's still using it today. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So God wants people to be drawn to his light shining through his people. And we talked about that a few months ago, that we are the light. Remember the teaching about salt and light? Again, let me read it from the message. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We are going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't you think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open, house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up to God. So the light that we are to use as fishers of men is the presence of God in our hearts. It doesn't have to be a great skill of convincing other people of what we think is true. It doesn't even talk about special people's skills. I mean, of course, they help if you have them. But what really draws people is the presence of the Lord in you. For me, that was the absolute truth. You've heard my testimony, some of you. When I came to this place 40 years ago and I was homeless, what drew me to the Lord was not a sermon. It was not a tract. It was not a television program. It was not a church. It was the love of a couple that asked me in and gave me a home. And I saw the light shine through. I didn't know what it was at that time. It took me some time to figure out it was the presence of the Lord. But that's what drew me. Nothing else. And so this is something we all possess as followers of Jesus, as believers filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Lord is in you. He said, I will be with you all the days of your life. He told us that his Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all of us. And so you have that light that is necessary to attract the fish into the net. It's not really that complicated, is it? The thing is that we can only challenge others to follow if we ourselves follow Jesus. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We cannot challenge anyone to follow Jesus if we ourselves have not really made that commitment. And I will talk about that a little bit later. Now I want to go into what I call the visualization. I want you to imagine something, okay? You can be a fisher of men. All of you. Every single one. Simply because Jesus said so. And the way it was meant is that you don't have to do it yourself. Fishing with a net requires community effort. That's where our community comes into play again. Even Jesus never sent the disciples out by themselves. At least two by two, because it takes at least two people to handle that net. So don't feel that you have to go out there like a hermit and try to talk to people about Jesus. If that's what you want to do, then God bless you. But most of us don't have the inclination to do that. And we don't have to, because fishing is a community effort. I like what my friend Don says. He thinking about the net, you know, he thinks about a network. So he planted a church in California, and he calls it Network, Laguna Beach Network. And he says, network is a net that works. And that's it. That's exactly it. If the net doesn't work, then you can't catch any fish. If the net is broken, you can't catch any fish. So again, we have to go back to the drawing board and see, okay, how is our net holding up? And of course, the net represents our relationships that we have, our interaction, our sharing of life, our common ground, our common vision, our common zeal to go forward and to go out. And so if we have that kind of network, then we have a net that works. And a net that works will catch fish, especially with the light of the presence of Jesus shining through. So, now again, you know by now that I never let you go without any practical things to think about. So how then can you get involved in becoming a fisher of men? If you're not doing that, some of you are already involved in that. Let me tell you some stories. There are many, many different ways to attract people into the net. There's a little vineyard church in Rayong, Thailand. Good friends of ours, and we will go there in a few weeks. Yes. And they have done something quite unusual. They are by the beach. It's a beach community. And the beach is not always very clean, sadly, because people don't take care of it. And the community and the city is not spending any money on cleaning the beaches. So this particular church has decided to go out once a month, and they go out with garbage bags, and they make themselves little sticks with a poker in the end where they can pick up all the garbage, and they have gloves if they need to, and they clean the beach once a month. And people come and they say, oh, the city is finally doing something. And they say, no, this is not the city. We are the Vineyard Church in Rayong. But why? Who's paying you? How much do you get for this? We're not getting anything. But why are you doing this? We want to bless you. We want to bless the community. We want to do our part to make this a better place. And people are shocked. They've never seen anything like that before. Now, when we were in Copenhagen, we heard some cool stories of what we used to call, well, I guess we still call it that way, but it's kind of a word that has become less known in Christian circles. We used to call it servant evangelism. Like the very act of going out and cleaning the beach, that would be called servant evangelism. And we found out that there are quite a few vineyards in the Nordic countries are still doing that. In Copenhagen, they go and they go to the park and they pass out muffins and try to talk to people. And they do something that is, of course, very Danish. They fix bicycles. And if you have been to Copenhagen, you understand why. It's like Saigon in the 60s. Everybody's driving a bicycle. And so bicycles need to be fixed. And they have people out there helping people, other people, fix their bicycles. And of course, people are perplexed. Why would you do that for me? Why don't you ask any money for that? And it's just because we just want to bless you. We just want to show you God's love. I want to tell you the story of a new church plant in a city in Denmark called Odense. That's not how they pronounce it, but yeah. I can't speak Danish, so... They started the church plant 22 months ago. No, sorry, 20 months. So it's not even 2 years. And within this short time, they have managed to gather between 60 and 70 people on Sunday. 30% of those are new believers that have never been to a church in their life. That little church is their very first church. That's just awesome. And when we asked them, they were interviewed on stage. So how did you do that? What did you do? And they just said, well, we went out and we prayed for the sick and we had parties, we had barbecues, we bring people in. And it sounded all so easy and so natural. There was no special recipe. There was no one in the team that has some super abilities or knowledge of how to build a church. They're ordinary people. We know Thomas and Sarah, who are leading that church plant well. They're ordinary folks like you and me. And yet, they have a passion, and they have a heart, and they're willing to try new things. And it's amazing. I mean, in Denmark, that's a pretty good result in 20 months. So say you have 70 people gathered on an average Sunday, that is not bad. So we were greatly encouraged by that. It still works to be a fisher of men, even in Scandinavia. It still works. And there's plenty of fish out there, of course, as we know. So, yeah, there's servant evangelism. So there are many different ways. There's no limit to the creativity that we can release. And something we can pray about. How can we serve the community and the people so that they will be attracted to the net that we have? Of course, there's the healing in the streets. Now, that's maybe a little bit high threshold for some of you. It takes a little bit of guts, and it's not for everyone. And don't feel pressured. Don't feel that you're being looked down upon if you don't go out on HOTS. But the fact is that you need to find your pond. You need to find your place to fish. You need to find your style of fishing. You need to find the thing that attracts people to you. There's the feeding and serving of the poor. And let me just say that as I was talking with many of the Nordic Vineyards, it became quite obvious that this is a growing issue. The beggars that we see here now are all over Norway. They're all over Denmark. And I promise you there will be more. If this situation in the Ukraine escalates, there will be lots more people coming, immigrants, people coming from broken situations, needing jobs, needing work, needing help, needing a friend. And we as the church, we can offer something. We don't have all the riches in the world, but we do have what they need and what attracts them into this net. So, like I said, Thomas and Sarah, they mainly built their church by organizing parties. So if that's something that you like to do, then go for it. Let me come to an end here. Action. So what are we going to do? For me, when I hear the word of God, I need to find a way to respond. And I need us to respond today. And the first question is really to ask yourself, are you following Jesus today? And this is a little secret that I'm sharing with you. I have decided, I don't even remember when I started doing that. It was just a few years ago. I decided I had to make the decision every morning when I wake up. Because I know I couldn't follow Jesus today and tomorrow I cannot. And it is so easily done. So I've made it a conscious decision. And there are days when I forget. There are days when I have to rush out of bed because of something and I don't get to do it. But on a regular day, my first conscious thought when I wake up in the morning is, Lord, here I am. Help me to follow you. I want to follow you today. And tomorrow I do it again. And the next day I do it again. Because I know if I don't do that consciously, I won't do it. I will be a believer. I will be a good Christian. I will be a churchgoer. I will be many good things, but I will not be a follower of Jesus. And if I'm not a follower of Jesus, I cannot be a fisher of men. It's really not very complicated. So if you are part of this fellowship, you consider the Vineyard, Stockholm Vineyard, to be your home, and you're not yet part of a small group, find one. There are new ones, there are different groups, and you can start your own if you like. There's no limitations on that. But you need to find a group. If you are leading a group, you need to explore together how you can shine together for Jesus. And again, there are so many different ways we can do that, but we have said it before, and I have to say it again. We cannot afford to meet together without a purpose outside of ourselves. If we continue to do that, the church in the West and in Sweden will continue to decline. Because no one else will do it for us. Did you hear me? No one else will do it for us. No one else will do it for us. It's our task, been given to us by the Lord, and he entrusted us with that. And he said, you know what? You follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So we're going to have a time of prayer soon, but I have one more little video clip, and it may surprise you. It's a song. And don't be put off by the music or the style. You may not like the music. It's not my favorite group either. But I was intrigued. I was intrigued by the words of that song because it's exactly what I've just preached about. So listen and watch the words as they come. Let's see if that comes on. It's very theological right there.
A spinning ball, and they all mean the world to you. It's times like these that I feel so small. There must be something I can do. I played it safe in shallow water. Never had the faith to cross the border. God, I've gotten good at being comfortable. It's time to leave my comfort zone. 'Cause you said
liked it. That's good. No, I saw those words and thought, yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. So now, I would like us to end this time before we go then to some time of fellowship in Fika in prayer. I want to appeal to those of you that aren't quite sure at this point in your life if you are really following Jesus or not. Maybe you've grown up in a church, you've always believed in him, you've always loved him, but you're not really sure if you ever made that commitment. Lord, I'm going to follow you, wherever, however, whenever. So, if that's something that you would like to do, then we would love to help you to take that step. But for the rest of us, for those of us that feel we have taken that step, I want to challenge you to today, just this very moment, to recommit yourselves to that task. I'd like to challenge you to once again tell Jesus, I will follow you. I hear the call, and I want to be a fisher of men, and I will follow you today. And I really believe that as we do that consciously, that there will be a mantle that will be placed on us. That the mantle of the fisherman or fisherwoman will be placed on us. And you will understand that you have what it takes to be a fisher of men. You don't need to do anything else. You have what it takes. You can always get better at it, but you have what it takes today to be a fisher of men. Can we please all stand up? I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to meet us now in prayer. And then later on, if someone would like special prayer for this very thing or something else, you need a healing in your body or have a problem that you just really need some help with, I invite you to come up on both sides by the cross and over here, and we would love to pray for you. So Holy Spirit, we invite you and we ask that you would come and breathe on us again. Lord, we have heard the message when you said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Lord, we've heard the message and we cannot avoid responding to that call over and over and over again. And so, Father, I ask that as we as a church here stand before you, Lord, that you would help us to recommit ourselves individually and corporately to become fishers of men in this city or wherever it is that you place us in the future. Lord, for the rest of our life here on this earth, we want to be fishers of men. And you know our weaknesses, you know the things we wrestle with, you know our fears, you know our insecurities. But Lord, you said you would make us fishers of men. And today we receive that. We receive that. We receive that mantle. We receive that anointing. We receive once again that light from heaven that will shine through us and attract people into the nets that you have provided for us. Yes, Father, and help us, Lord, in our relationships, in our small groups. Lord, help us to understand that this is a community effort and we need to do it together, Father. So help us to find our place in the boat. Help us to find our place in the boat, Lord. Help us to find the net that you want us to lay our hands on. And together, Lord, we will bring in this harvest. Together, Lord, we will see people saved for the sake of following you and becoming fishers of men themselves. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Father. Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.